With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
Jay Cross.
Hiya.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
Nice. You guys have not done your catchphrases this week.
Oh, that, wait, what were our catchphrases?
Do it again.
I always say hiya.
I'm joined by Matt Knight.
Oh, no.
Good evening.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
That's not it.
What do I say?
You've been saying who for the last few podcasts.
Oh, yeah, I do say who, yeah.
Matt Knight.
Good evening.
Jay Cross.
What?
And Joe Branton.
That's what I call a lemming sandwich.
Good. There we go. I like this. I like that Maz is like really sensible and like straight down the line. Jay's is just ridiculous. And Joe Branton's is random. Completely random every week. I'm into
Joe
it.
Joe Random.
How's it going, guys? Everyone all good?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am. Very good, thank you.
I should, full disclosure, I am feeling a bit ill. So, firstly, you guys are probably going to get sick. And secondly, I might do a little bit less talk in this podcast because I've got the world's sorest throat.
If I had a penny for every time Mark has said that at the start of a podcast,
you'd have like 20p probably.
Yeah. Enough for a Freddo.
Enough to maybe buy him a Lemsip.
So. I wouldn't want a Freddo because actually I think it's my wisdom tooth that's the problem and I get a bad throat. So, I've got water. Hopefully we'll make it through. Last part of our NAMM roundup. NAMM part 3, Return of the NAMM.
We should have called We should have called
NAMM again.
Last week it should have been the NAMM Empire Strikes Back, really, shouldn't
it? Yeah, that would have been good.
What about the
NAMM Hope?
The NAMM Crusade.
The NAMM to Menace.
No, that's the first one. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
it would have been a NAMM Hope.
But the first episode is episode one.
Yeah, that's true. This is episode 3.
Phantom Menace.
The what else we got? The NAMM Father 3?
No, that one. It's NAMM Father Part 3.
The NAMM Father Part 3?
Yeah, 100%. Paul Blart Mall NAMM 3.
NAMM Fast, NAMM Furious. Part 3.
This is unbelievable. Anyway, so
people are paying for this. I mean, wait.
No, people are not paying for this. We keep the good stuff for the Patreon episode. That's not true. You get a full range of goodness. NAMM to the Future Part 3.
I was about to do that.
Anyway, so what's been going on this week, chaps? Matt Knight, have you got any news for us? Perhaps a new arrival.
Men in NAMM 3.
Awful.
Men in NAMM. Oh dear, you're rubbish. I finally bought my Les Paul.
He got it.
Happy days.
Does that mean the SG's? Does that mean the old Les Paul is gone?
The old Les Paul.
Yeah. No, wait. What year was it? 62.
61.
So does that mean the old Les Paul is gone?
Yeah. Yeah. It has. It has departed.
Oh, man.
It was sort of a sad. You know, a sad day, but also a day when I realised I just don't think I'm ever going to buy a vintage guitar ever again. Every time I buy one, I'm always like, and then about 6 months later, I'm like,
Talk us through the spec of your new Les Paul.
I want to hear about the old one again.
No, the old one's done. Forget about it. The old one's buried.
Okay.
The only time I've ever, like we all know, the only time I've ever sold something, regretted it, was that Esquire. One day it will come back.
Until now.
Yeah, so it is a 58 reissue Les Paul in ocean pink with a black back. And it is basically the same spec as the 2013 Historics. What they're now calling this year, they released the NAMM Standard Historic. So, yeah, they've kind of gone through. I think they've sort of simplified Gibson again this year. But yeah, effectively, Standard Historic, what this one is vintage neck tenon, obviously one piece rosewood fingerboard, but they use the hide glue on the neck join. It's the sort of vintage Les Paul shape, but not the of true historic shape, which is the other one they're doing. But yeah, basically a standard 58 Les Paul, but it's an ocean pink.
And that's that there enough. We go. The final, the biggest detail just snuck its way in at the end there in glorious ocean pink.
It's the only one I've ever seen. I think probably the only one ever.
Well, I was going to say, is it the only one in the country? Because if you remember, when we
it is the one from the one that we talked about on Instagram.
Yes, that's because that's what's really funny is that we. So you saw this guitar in a shop and were like, "I've got to buy this. I've got to buy this. I have to buy this." And then we spoke about it on the podcast after you put the deposit down, and then somebody in the group brought it up and went, "Oh look, here's a guitar just like the one that you were talking about or whatever." And it was a link to the Instagram picture that had been put, an Instagram picture that had been put up maybe 6 months earlier, or maybe a little earlier than that, in the Gibson custom shop.
Yeah.
And if you looked down and looked at the comments, there's a comment from me tagging the rest of you three
nice.
In it. Or maybe it's a Twitter post, but it was one or the other. But I saw that guitar and was like, that's unreal. That's absolutely amazing. And I tagged the three of you in it, which is something that we do all the time. If like we don't say anything, we just if anybody sees something cool on the internet, we just at each other, and everyone just goes.
They're just pointing at each other again,
and yeah, I just think it's really funny that something that we talked about on the internet actually ended up happening. It's really
I know, and actually, it's funny because I've. You know, as part of our ongoing Guitar Nerds worldwide takeover, I finally got back into Instagram because I really want to look at nice pictures of guitars. And and bulldogs, you know,
of course.
And I was on the Gibson custom page, and I was like, man, some of the things that they think up of, like in terms of color option things, I'm like, so good. And it just made me realize that I really want a 54. 2P90s, wraparound bridge.
There was that one that showed up the other
that's
day,
the
which
I
was
showed
like
you.
Purple like, sunburst,
ultraviolet sparkle.
Yes, nice.
It looks so
when you
good.
Say purple sunburst. What do you mean?
It was like purple.
It's like ultraviolet color.
So like bright purple in the middle, going to dark purple at the edge.
Oh, okay, right. Because
with 2P90s.
Because in the in Joe's shop, I assume it's still there. It was certainly there the last time I was there. There was a I can't remember what year it was. In fact, I think it was just a custom shop Les Paul standard. I think possibly. I'm not sure. And it was in purple sunburst.
Okay.
Which I always actually really liked because I thought it was quite subtle.
Yeah, that's like a proper burst, isn't it?
It looks like if you were just scanning the room, you'd just see like a desert burst.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. I know exactly the finish that you mean. Yeah. It's got like a kind of hidden purple.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah. And I thought that was really nice and really subtle. Presumably, this one, if it was something that Matt was into, subtle is not the word that you would use to describe it.
It's fully
it
purple.
Like, right.
It was like. It was imagine the J Mascus
Jazzmaster, the old
Jazzmaster, but not as thick flake sort of
and
like that.
Sunburst. It was very
and it sort
very
of like
good.
A, had black outer edges. Yeah,
so like a silver burst, but purple.
Yeah, but probably not as much as a burst.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah, nice but and subtle.
And that was a 54.
54. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to know that they're sticking with you know vintage correct colours. You know.
That wasn't an option.
It was, to have the metallic purple burst.
Well, after that came up, obviously I took home the pink one, I was like, do you know what I'm going to add to my eBay list? I'm going to add Les Paul Custom, so all the just any Les Paul Customs to get added to eBay. And literally that evening, someone listed a 57 in seafoam green.
Oh,
I
was like,
that's great.
If only I had the money. Imagine that. He was like, yeah, I bought it as a custom order, just stayed under the bed. I never used it. Imagine having a 57 in seafoam green and then a 58 in ocean pink.
That sounds very good.
So the 54 would be wraparound, P90 wraparound.
Yeah, and then 55 was the first...
Tunamatic. First Tunamatic?
Yeah.
But it was still P90s.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. The reason that I said no is because I was thinking of that 55 hot mod, but
the
that
55,
was
the 55. Yeah,
that was retrofitted.
That's right.
P90,
yeah.
Retrofitted.
One of those is up on eBay at the moment as well. It came up, and I'm like, God, I forgot how good those guitars
they
were. That off-center maple, but like,
really cool.
Are they going for any decent money?
No, this one's actually like relatively low.
Is it? Okay. Cool. What sort of money are we talking?
At $2,000.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
considering they were like 4,500 new, I think.
Yeah.
They were quite expensive.
So what's the difference between a 55 and a 56?
Nothing, I don't think. I don't think there was any major difference. I think there's, because there's definitely 55 with humbuckers, so I'm wondering if there was some sort of odd crossover period.
Is 50, perhaps. Is 55, sure, it wasn't 56 the first year of the Tunamatic? Sorry, not 56, 57. I think 54, 55, and 56 all have wraparounds.
No, wraparound definitely has a Tunamatic, I'm sure.
Wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. 56, you mean, definitely has a Tunamatic. 56. I'm pretty sure 55 does as well.
55's got a Tunamatic.
So 50, okay, so there's, so yeah, okay, maybe there's no difference between 55 and 56 then.
No.
The 55, it's got the, oh, that's a custom. That's the ones in ebony with those awesome neck pickups.
Anyway, should we talk about something else that we did this week?
Okay.
Matt, this involves
sure.
you. So we did a load of demos for stuff going up on the website and on the YouTube channel. Joe Branton, do you want to talk us through the videos that we did?
Yes. You guys all turned up at my house at 11 a.m. in the morning, the morning after my girlfriend's birthday.
Yes. You were the most hungover I've seen a person, I think.
Well, I spent the entire night throwing up. I don't even remember the last pub that we went to.
Sweet.
So I was very happy to see you all.
Yeah, I bet.
But yes, it was good. We managed to turn my lounge upside down, turn it into the video room. And what did we film? We filmed basically all the pedals from that Periscope you did a while ago.
The monthly mailbag.
We
did the Dolphin Sound Overdrive.
The Dolphin Sound one. Yeah. That did sound surprisingly good. I wasn't really very taken with the style of it. It didn't have anything on paper or the way it looked. Yeah. Well, it was, and I know that's got nothing to do with the way something sounds, but just everything, it was just like an overdrive, and there was nothing about it that especially made me think it was going to be great, but it actually sounded really good, and it was very versatile.
Really good, like, utility pedal, basically, because it did everything from, like, a real clean push right through to a kind of... just a good sort of Boss DS1, DS2 style drive.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Thought it was, it's got to be difficult though, isn't it? If you're going to come in now and you're going to go like, right, we're going to make pedals, we've got this wicked sound. It's like, how do you set it apart from everything else without it being, one, completely oversized, two, completely overpriced?
Yeah,
well, that's
three,
it.
But the answer is
that you make it super boutique. Like, the people who are doing that sort of thing right are companies like... Like Zvex, or they're that sort of style of boutique where you make them look interesting, or you give them interesting names. And I think maybe the idea with pedals moving forward is actually almost moving away from, like, Boss have come back so strongly in the last couple of years, so strongly that there's no point going after that market anymore. Boss have got it; they've got the utility pedal.
Yeah.
What you need to do is make something that isn't versatile, that maybe does one thing really well, and that thing could be a bit more extreme. You need to offer something that Boss don't offer in their pedal range your pedal popular.
The other one we did was obviously the prickle sounds from Cult Audio,
which did exactly what I just said.
Yeah, so it's that pedal something totally different.
So it's one in a series. It's not the only, they do a complete range of pedals, but what really makes this Clog Audio range of pedals very, very unique is not only the acid etched printing on the front, which looks amazing. I love the look of that sort of it's sort of laser etched print on the front of a pedal, just like a steel pedal, but also there are no controls.
It is completely knobless.
Yeah,
it's their knobless range.
Yeah. So that was quite good, wasn't it? It sounded really good. Again, a different take on the fuzz thing.
It had two buttons, though,
two modes,
which was fuzz and prickle.
Yes. The prickle brings in
presence. Really.
Yeah, a little bit of presence, like a little bit of extra top end. Yeah, I thought it was a nice little take on.
I thought it was a great pedal. And what a difficult thing to do. If you're going to say that, I mean, it's a gimmick, isn't it? That if you're going to say we're going to have no controls on there, so that it's just a pedal that people don't have to mess around with. It's just got a sound, one sound. You think how many sounds you get over just sort of, you know, like three or four notches on a knob on a normal sort of fuzz pedal. We're going to have nothing on that, but we want to make it really, really usable. That the amount of actual time and effort that must have been put into making sure that that fuzz sounded great and that the prickle gave it that sort of little bit more. I think it was a really hard undertaking by a pedal brand trying to make something that would make that range popular by being so unique.
Are they cheap?
Do you know what? I don't know the price, actually.
Okay.
Head over to the Clog Audio site to find out. Okay. I don't think they're particularly cheap, because, again, they're handmade in the UK, so probably not super cheap.
Just, yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you think if there's no... As you say, it's sort of taking a punt, really, and it's not a particularly... what's the word? It's not a particularly... It's not going to have us a huge broad appeal, and so it's real. That I mean, I'm all about. I guess it's kind of interesting because it's kind of towing a line between like confidence and arrogance, and I like it. I like it. I think that's something exciting to see. In, you know, it's not companies playing it safe, and it's not companies doing something completely out there. They're just going like, listen. This just sounds good.
Yeah.
It will make you sound better.
More knobless pedals, please.
Definitely.
I think there are definitely some pedals that sort of thing can work with. I think fuzz is a real... I think they did a great job with the fuzz, but I think that was one of the hardest ones to make something with, because I think people use fuzzes in so many different ways.
Yes. Yeah,
sort of the completely outrageously over-compressed, like noise-gated super fuzz, to using them sort of quite... traditionally.
Is that your new band, Noise Gated Super Fuzz?
Oh yeah, that's a good thing.
That's good. And we also did a Beat Buddy demo, which I'm not going to go into because the video, I think, will stand on its own when we put it up on the site. But the last pedal we did was the F Pedals Phase Vibe, which we've already talked a bit about on the podcast, because I kind of plugged it in and did some periscoping, I think, with it. An awesome sounding phaser. Matt, what were your thoughts on that?
I really liked it. I think so often now, especially with so many MIDI pedals out there, some things can get overlooked really quickly because you instantly... I think it's how people were, you know, with MXR a few years ago and with Boss, is just kind of like, oh, it's an MXR, it's a Boss pedal, you know, it's a Digitech pedal, whatever. And those brands that you've seen 100 times before, and I think people have been going, oh, it's just another MIDI pedal. But actually, a lot of times when you plug them in, they sound really, really good.
Yeah.
And that was just really impressive, like really thick phaser, loads of really usable sounds. I'd love to see the wireless charging one.
Definitely.
I think it's a cool bit of technology that really hasn't necessarily made its way anywhere yet.
Yeah, like charging up your whole pedal board, I think, is like a really cool idea.
I think that's the idea, right, is that they've got a pedal board and you can put all their pedals on this pedal board, and then basically the pedal board charges the pedals and then...
Yeah.
Take it away.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nuts. It was the same as there was an amp company out there that were working out a way that you could power your pedal board from your amplifier. So your amp...
I remember seeing that.
And they were like, oh, yeah. And then they were like, oh, actually, it's kind of like years off. So
just come back to us. Well, talking about mini pedals, we had some stuff turn up, which is actually just down here. I've got them by the...
You know, this recording is a video, desk. Right?
I know. But I wanted to get them. I wanted to get them nearby so we can have a look at them. A couple pedals from X5 turned up. Now, I don't know a huge amount about X5. Matt, you seem to know a little bit about the background.
You sure it's not Zvive?
It's not Zvive.
Are you a Zviver?
It's 100% X5.
Zviver.
Well, it's not an Xylophone, is it?
This is X5. Matt Knight, tell us about them.
Agree to disagree.
So, it's definitely Vive, Joe. It confirms it on their website, just so you know.
Good.
Just in case you were wondering. All designed in the US, but I think built in...
Made in China.
Yeah. But actually, the guy who designed them all actually worked for Electro-Harmonix for 5 years.
Okay.
And also worked for Pigtronix and helped design the Mothership guitar synth.
Oh, nice. Right, okay.
So I didn't know. He also co-designed the amp kit. You know, the amp link kit for iPhones.
Yep.
It's some
history to the designer.
Yeah, he also helped design the Infinity Looper and the Echolution 2.
There we go.
Which is probably why, because I know one of the pedals we've got is a looper, probably.
It is. It is. Can I just say, holding these, they feel, for mini pedals, they feel like surprisingly weighty.
Yeah,
mini pedals often, like, you know that the circuit board inside is tiny and then they've just put like a real lightweight chassis. But these feel like substantial.
Yeah, these remind me of the Exotic.
That weighs like not much less than a Boss pedal, no. I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of more sized box. So the two we've got are the Duet Looper and the Golden Brownie. Matt, do you want to tell us a little bit about the Duet Looper?
Yeah, because I hadn't heard much of these until you kind of sent the photo through. And I was like, oh, wow, these look really, really cool. And they do like a massive range of like loads of analog pedals. Like their analog series is like 20-odd pedals, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Considering they've only been going, I think, 3 years. I think with the Duet Looper, you've actually got effectively a verse and a chorus built in.
You have. By the looks of things, so there's like a little mini toggle at the top. I think that changes the function of
Isn't the toggle undo redo?
No, because you can go down onto verse chorus, so you can have the foot switch do undo redo, or if you hold it down, it will do verse chorus.
Exactly. So I'd imagine it's start and stop and overdub, but then if you hold it down, it must have another function which can either be undo redo or switch between two different loops.
Yeah.
Oh right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Wow.
Which I can't think of another single button looper that does that.
No, even the Ditto X2 doesn't allow you to have two different loops that you can switch between.
No, this is cool. It's also USB out, so...
Yeah, so they basically, because it was designed with the guy that obviously designed a load of the Pigtronix and stuff, including the Infinity Looper, they were like, oh, can you basically just design a mini version? So they've kind of come up with that. So the idea behind USB is that if there's any updates or they change anything, you know, you can basically... update it, which is really nice, because actually they might add in, I know since I've had the Infinity Looper, they've added in like loads of cool features that weren't there before, so that, you know, you wouldn't actually think, like loads of things to do with kind of how the decay works and how you can work it with an expression pedal and, you know, like changing the pitch and things like that. So, you know, who knows what they might come in the future for that.
I think
with pedals like the Infinity Looper and I guess like larger pedals, so like the Infinity Looper and ES8. ES8's got USB, right? For updates and stuff?
No.
Doesn't. Okay.
This is the thing. They're thinking about, you know, I've suggested that they do something with MIDI because it's easy enough to do it via MIDI.
Okay. So. I mean, I just feel like, in that case, that maybe invalidates what I'm about to say, but I feel like with these larger pedals, having that USB connectivity to download updates, like with the Helix and with like really big things, it's really important that, that companies sort of future-proof their, you know,
these
pedals.
Totally.
So like something like the Infinity Looper and then the Helix, I guess those two are fairly good examples. There's so much money that you need to be able to future-proof them, and you need to be able to offer proper assurances that you know, it's worth investing in this. And
yeah.
If you, for example, buy a Helix, they're not going to, in a year's time, do what Line 6 have done with, you know, so frequently, which is, okay, cool, yeah, actually, we're done with the HD300, and now we do an HD400. Actually, we're done with that, and now we do an HD500. And just offering the, you know, just saying like, okay, cool, look, we're not going to be doing that anymore. What we're actually going to be doing is, here is an update, and you can just download that, yeah, and you don't have to pay for it. And I think it's cool that companies are going to be doing that in smaller pedals. Like, I thought it was really good that for example, the Polytune had the USB connectivity, you know, so it's like, okay, cool, well, look, here's an update, it works a little bit better, and you got a few more tunings. I thought that was really, really neat. And and the same with that. I think that's very cool. I think it's important, and also it's something that maybe some pedal companies are a little bit afraid to do, because having, if you stick a USB on something, immediately a lot of the sort of pedal purists out there just go like, nah, it's not true bypass anymore, I don't want it, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's cool. It's cool to if anyone wants to just fast forward.
It's cool. The first time I ever plugged an amp into a computer was a Line 6 Flextone, talking about Line 6, MIDI to printer port connection.
Right on.
Yeah. That's
did
when...
Were you able to play something and then it printed?
It did print the tab? It automatically printed the tab. It was amazing. It did not do that, but USB wasn't kind of as commonplace. I guess USB came in like... 99, maybe 98, something like that, maybe even 97. But like, the printer connection was still kind of one of your main ways that you were plugging things into your computer. So Line 6 brought out a cable that was MIDI in and out on two plugs to a printer port connection.
Right.
So yeah, exciting stuff. Download your sweet Steve iTones to your Flextone 2.
Speaking of. Go on, Matt, you go first.
I was going to say, you might be interested to know that it was initially designed in 1996 for commercial release in 1997. So,
what, USB?
Yep.
Nice, there we go. What, my tiny PC, I think, had one USB port, and I had to connect the mouse and keyboard via PS2 connection. Do you remember that? Before USB, you'd have
PS2 connection.
Yeah. Sweet times.
Speaking of, this is a very tenuous link, but it was something that I saw on the internet this week that was quite funny.
You used the computer for the internet?
I did.
Okay, sweet. We're there.
Speaking of, like, music and stuff, I saw a Facebook status this week from Kurt Bilal, who is the guitarist in Converge.
Okay.
And he just posted up a picture of a music stave.
Yep.
Is that what it's called?
When it is,
like,
it is.
There's some stuff with some notes on it.
That's the one.
And he was like, listen, I know I should be able to read music, but Kurt Bilal is an incredible guitarist. Really, really incredible guitarist. And he was like, look, I know I should be able to read music, but I can't. It's been so long since I've done this. I can't work out what this is telling me how to play. Can someone just, like, post me a video of what this is? And he posted up this... you know, this picture of it, and it said 148 BPM or whatever, and a bunch of people did it, and it turned out that he had got a bunch of people to rip-roll themselves.
Amazing. That is amazing.
Absolutely incredible.
Very, very good.
Absolutely incredible.
Jay Cross, you put on a gig this week. Any interesting guitars or anything at your Beach Slang show?
No, not really. So I put on this band called Beach Slang, who are a very cool indie rock band from Philadelphia. What was quite interesting was they went to Milton Keynes and lent some amps by Marshall.
Oh, nice.
And they also went to...
What did they get?
Codes.
They also went to somewhere in London and borrowed some guitars from Gibson.
Oh, cool.
So the guitarist who on the previous tour was playing one of the guitars in your video that was like the rarest or
Sonics 180.
So on the first tour, he was playing a Sonics 180, and apparently, after I told him to watch your video, and he realised how rare the guitar was, he now no longer uses that guitar.
Really?
Live.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So he had borrowed a Les Paul Standard from a handful of years ago. I think it was a 2008 Les Paul Standard.
Nice, good year.
But no.
Oh no, that's Neutrik jack plugs.
Just before that. Okay. So I think it was it wasn't that spec. It was, I think it was from 2008, but it was like an early 2008 or a late 2007, something like that. But he had a so he had a cool Les Paul Standard going into a Marshall 974X. Or what's the... no, is that the one-speaker version? What's the two-speaker?
74X is the one-speaker.
What's the two-version?
So the 74 is one-speaker, 18 watts, and then they do an 18-watt 1958, which is two 10s. And then they do a 1962, which is the Blues Breaker, which...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Yeah, it wasn't the Blues Breaker, so it's the 58. Cool. So he had one of them, and it sounded whole wicked.
Nice. Good old Marshalls are well
good. Yeah, really good. Really good. Like, I mean, those... I mean, that's not even an old one.
Not old, but you know what I mean.
Old style.
Old style Marshalls.
I mean, the 1974X is one of my favourite amps of the modern era, I guess. I mean, I don't know how long they've been doing it, to be honest. I don't think it's since 1974X.
No. Yeah, it was from the year 1974X.
I was thinking that the other day. I have no idea how they came up with their names, because I know a guy that we know, Sparky, he had a 1985-1987 JMP head.
Yeah, that's always weird. I think it's maybe like, someone drunk 197 cans of 4X and they were like, that's what the amp's called.
Surely 1,974 cans.
Yeah, no, because then it wouldn't work, because you need the 4X at the end.
Oh, very good.
Anyway, shall we do some more NAMM news?
Sure.
Yeah, cheers. I had a great week.
Oh, well, what did you do this week?
No.
Well, you already talked about the pedals that we recorded.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did, yeah.
I try and include everyone. Matt got his guitar. Jay did a gig. You recorded some demos.
Oh, yeah, that is what
we
did.
I got the X5 pedals.
Oh, yeah.
You were hungover.
Yeah, that's it.
Thing is, you actually just told us what you did this week. You just can't remember. Too much boozing.
I've quit booze now anyway.
You seem to be drinking a beer right now, literally as we speak. Tell us, do the news thing.
Nude men.
So this is the, I guess, the last part, depending on how we go. Yeah, we've already been talking for 31 minutes. It's the last part of our NAMM roundup. What did I miss off, Matt? Start with that.
I need to go, because we were talking about amps, and then I just suddenly thought that I saw this today and thought this was absolutely brilliant. Guitar Nerd's favourite Earthquaker Devices have announced their first amplifier.
Okay, tell us.
Have they?
Yeah, it's not cheap. but it looks awesome.
They did this a while ago. We're talking about the One Control earthquake.
Yeah, this has actually got three controls. The Sound Project 25.
It's not purist enough.
Go on then, tell us about it.
25 watts, all valve, volume, treble, and bass. That is it. It is $2,450.
Whoa. But
I would definitely pay it because it looks amazing. It looks like an old Matamp, so it's like really tall and like quite not very wide. So they like almost like a little square box. It looks amazing.
That sounds awesome.
Do we know how available they're actually going to be?
At the moment, I don't know at all. It's not even on their website, so I don't know even if it's like, I don't know whether it's a built to order thing or what. I'm not sure, but it looks pretty awesome. Well, I just saw it today, and there was a few videos of NAMM, and it kind of made me realise that there's just like, I don't think you could ever talk about everything that's ever at NAMM, because I saw a video today of just weird and wonderful, and there was just like people going around just picking all the oddest things at NAMM, just like.
When you get down into that bottom hall, like underneath the, when you go from the main hall down the escalators down into Hall E, I think it is, yeah. There's some proper, proper weird stuff. Like people that are just making guitar replicas that are like 8 foot tall, and that's what they're there for. I don't really understand what they're there.
I just don't understand how that's a full-time business. Well, maybe like, how are you making money?
Maybe they're like shop fitters, and they're going like, oh, you've got a guitar shop. Look what we could do for you in your shop. I don't really understand. I didn't stop by there and was like, why are you here? That was just a bit rude. I feel like that would just be a little disrespectful to them.
Yeah.
So that's got, what, four controls on it? Or three controls? Three. One amp that's got a lot more than that is the new Mesa Boogie JP2C John Petrucci signature amp.
Nice segue, man.
Indeed. Matt, what's the deets?
It's got a lot of controls.
Go on.
I think...
And it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Well, there's two.
I think that's right. You can pay £1,000 extra to have a wood panel on the front of it.
and his signature.
Oh, of course.
Oh, great.
Everyone loves John Petrucci.
Yeah,
he seems to have a good year at NAMM, actually. I think he's got that, and there was a signature wah pedal as well.
I was just about to say, how many different signature items does John Petrucci have?
So, Music Man.
So he's got a Music Man. He's got a couple of Music Man guitars, six and seven
Music Man and Music Man subs as well.
Right.
So they do the Majesty. They do the standard JP like Music Man. He's got the Boogie endorsement now, Dunlop, and then in Dunlop they make wah pedals,
plectrums,
and picks.
He's got that Asda George range.
There's the TC Electronic Dreamscape.
Oh yeah, that's
Dreamscape.
Not still current though, is it?
I think
it
so.
Is. Oh, is it? Okay.
So that's at least five different companies.
Yeah.
He's still away from Joe Bonamassa, but yeah.
Yeah, he's not quite there, is he? He's not quite up to that level. Anyway, tell us. So the JP2C, what's it all about?
So I think he'd been using the Mark V 25s, the mini ones, for quite some time.
Great amps.
Yeah, awesome.
And you can get basically the same thing with his name on it for £1,000 more now.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff.
It is actually quite different.
What's different about
tone capsule?
Yeah. Well, basically, I think tone capsule. I think the main thing he'd been using for I think all of Dream Theater history was a Mark II or a Mark II C Plus. So all three channels have the Mark II. Like preamp, and then each one has a slightly different side to it. So one's clean and Mark II, one's Mark II with gain or shred. It's the same for channel 3. So you've also got two graphic EQs. I think it comes with an 8-button foot switch. It comes with like a pretty mega.
Cry that loud.
100 or 60 watts. It's pretty full on. Three channels, reverb, and two graphic EQs.
It's so sorry, one sec. It's switchable from 100 watts to 60 watts. That's it. Those are the switching options.
You've got completely unusable or slightly unusable.
No, you've got completely unusable or 100 watts.
Yeah.
Like that's madness. Who is going to buy this amp?
And it's £2,500.
John Petrucci, he'll probably buy a couple.
And there is the other version has no difference in the controls, has his signature on it, and a wooden panel on the front.
So is it,
and it's £3,500.
Yeah, but they're only making
£1,000.
Yeah, but they're only making, I think they're only making about 10 or 15.
Right, okay.
So well, really, really limited.
Well, it's hopefully John will buy them all so that they make their money back.
Well, I think it, in one way, though, it's quite good because it shows off the custom shop range that you can have. Because we've had a few people previously who have kind of gone, oh, I want a custom spec a Boogie.
Yeah.
And actually, the range of custom options you can have is like insane. And actually, considering what you get on it, it's actually relatively cheap. Because if you want a stained maple wood panel, that usually adds on about 900 quid onto the price. And that's before you kind of add in like custom controls or whatever you want. Things
so,
like
that. Because the, so it's a, sorry to go back a, just a couple of steps. It's a Mark V 25.
It's a redesigned Mark V 25.
So, but the, think, the entire point of the Mark V 25 was that it was, a small. It was a small, usable gig. And I realised that John Petrucci is a, of a very elite number of, you know, guitarists who doesn't need a small guitar amp. But, like, I don't know. It just seems a little bit odd to not include the ability to turn it down to at least 25 watts.
I think.
Yeah.
You...
Do you know what though? I've got to say. I mean, I know 100 watts is ridiculous. Like, don't get me wrong, but you know, a good guy on obviously Guitar Nerds and a friend of all of ours, Steve, has bought one of the Kingsnakes, which is 100 watts. But it was probably one of the best sounding combos for clean because. Even though you probably never turn it up to full, I think the thing is the sheer amount of headroom that you get. I think you just need the ability to get it, like, if you're a bedroom guitarist, it's obviously going to be completely ridiculous.
Of course,
but if you're gigging, I think you could probably still. I think the thing is that building that 100 watts into a much smaller package, where 100 watts would usually mean a 412 and a massive Marshall head. I mean, we'd all love the option, I suppose, to be able to turn it up. But then, yeah. I don't know. I kind of see it, and I also kind of don't see the point because
I think everyone here is underestimating the buying power of Dream Theater fans. Because
they're
not. You know, it's not grotty teenage bedroom music, is it? It's dentists.
I mean,
and
it
doctors
was when I was listening to Dream Theater.
You have never listened to Dream Theater.
I bought a Dream Theater CD when
I was 15. Is that when you had a 7-string?
Probably.
Are you kidding?
I bought a Dream Theater CD when I was.
Which one?
15?
Yeah, which one, Jay?
Octavarium.
No, don't go.
I can't remember what it's called.
Was it the one that was far too long, had too many notes in it? All the songs were a bit boring and just sort of a bit rubbish in general.
I think that was what it was called.
It wasn't
Home. No, Home was the track. Scenes from a Memory. That's a Dream Theater record.
That is Dream Theater.
It wasn't
well
that
done.
One.
He's on Wikipedia now.
No, I'm not. That wasn't the record that I bought. I had the one after that. That was. Are you on Wikipedia now?
Hold on.
No, not at all. It's just that I actually do listen occasionally to Dream
Theater. I know this. Honestly, hold on.
I've got a spade over here somewhere. Let me just
dig that hole a bit deeper.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. I need to reiterate the fact that I was 15 when I was listening to Dream Theater.
I'm pretty sure you've just been kicked out of punk. pretty weird.
Jay, punk's on the phone. They don't want you to come over.
Just weird.
Is that Tim Armstrong?
Appears to be a sort of Doc Martin boot print right on one of your ass cheeks. Anyway, so the JP2C is Mesa Boogie's new John Petrucci signature, and by the sound of things, we're probably all run out of buy one, I'd imagine. Jake,
what would you do? What would you honestly do if I posted on my Instagram like tomorrow? It's like I've sold it all, 4x12.
Honestly, the way that you've been buying stuff recently, I wouldn't put it past you.
I just thought, you know, stick it all on the credit card. Worry about it later.
Matt's finally.
I love that every time we talk to Matt at the moment, he's like, buying a house is one of the
most stressful
things you'll ever do. I was like, yeah.
You spent
$3,000 on a pink Les Paul.
Yeah, making rent at the end of each month at the moment. Yeah, making rent is really difficult.
There's a magic thing called credit cards.
You posted a picture.
King of credit.
You posted a picture on the group of your rig recently, And I was, I think I was in a band practice at the time having a break, and I counted up rough cost of gear and explained it to the guitarist in my band. And, you know, bear in mind his massive board and double amp setup, your equipment was, his equipment was about a third the cost of yours. And yes. You play, and he was like, his reaction was like, and he just plays in his bedroom, yeah? And I was like, yeah, yeah.
But it's a bloody good sounding bedroom. That's the
it's
that's
the best
the
sounding bedroom in town. Do you know what though? I think realistically, if you look at, I suppose, you know, especially since we've been doing the podcast, I think that's like the massive way that these companies are obviously, you know, there's so many more people out there bringing so much more to the table, because there's so many more people out there who are playing, you know, just for fun, who aren't necessarily playing in a band. And I think, you know, actually, if you look at a lot of the people gigging, most people aren't actually gigging that much stuff.
Well, actually, that's interesting. That, and that was one of the points that that Tim made when I was talking to him about it, was that, you know, I bet you wouldn't want to bring that Les Paul out if you were gigging. And that's true, and that's why I kind
that
of...
That sounds like someone who... those are the words of someone who can't afford to buy guitar.
Ah, but it's not, because I find the same thing, because I'd never spend over £1,000 on a guitar, because I know what I do.
Bear in mind you're going on record here.
No, but I've said that. I've
it's,
always
there's
said
only
that.
A matter of time.
You're definitely going to buy a custom shop. It's only a matter shop. Of time. You're definitely going to buy a custom shop P-Bass.
I think, Joe, what you've got to remember is all the gear... No idea.
Let's talk about some more gear with that in mind.
Oh, do we have to go on to this second one? It's so boring.
We've got a lot of NAMM stuff to get through. I think we're going to overrun into the Patreon episode again. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. But we've still got 15, 20 minutes to rattle through some stuff. So, Blackstar ID Core 100 and 150. We've talked a lot about the ID Core stuff on this podcast and how much we love it.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the 100s and 150s?
So the 100s and 150s are like the 10s, the 20s and the 40s, but a little bit bigger.
So the ID Core has finally sort of hit a sort of giggable series.
Well, I
but
guess
it's weird
so.
Though, because they've been doing what I don't understand is they do the ID TVP with the
absolutely.
True valve power.
My point exactly. I think what they've done here is this seems like a bit of a cop out for me.
Okay.
And
do you think they just didn't have a new product for this year?
I absolutely. Well, maybe, or maybe it's just them going, I don't know, man. Like, look at what Marshall put out. We could do that.
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
It's a little
I suppose
bit bigger.
The only thing is with the TVP range is they don't come with the wide, super wide stereo that the small ID cores have. So I'm assuming it's the idea is to give you the super wide stereo, but in a bigger amp
yeah,
format.
Yeah, but if you want that, then you just go...
You just buy two amps.
Well, no. If you want that and you're playing live, you just go direct out into the PA.
Yeah.
Which is you can do that through the
but
you
Jay,
can do that through the
these
line
do
out.
Feature an octaver effect.
Yes,
now, if you want
in.
That octaver effect, you can't. You've got to buy the big one.
But what they've done, so that's exactly what Roland did when they released the larger Cube series.
Add an octave.
Is they went, oh yeah, we'll stick an octave on that.
It's the way forward.
That'll be good. That'll make. I don't know. It just seems very odd that they'd do that. I don't know. I mean, I found personally working in a shop, people didn't want large, like, modelling practice amps.
That was a really loud bass rumble. Was that
from
someone
upstairs? Coming upstairs?
Someone's just thundering there, isn't it?
Was
that actually thunder from outside?
No, I think it was.
It's just someone running down your stairs.
Oh, right. Sorry about that, listeners. Yeah,
I think maybe what it was is that my frequencies.
It was the boys at Blackstar running into the room and gagging Jay Cross and before spilling any more bad words about their ID Core range.
You know, I love the ID Core range. I think the ID Core range is the best. Are the best practice amps that you can buy for. No, full stop. I think they're the best practice amps that you can buy, but they're practice amps.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's when the companies tend to do this a lot. They take like cool stuff that you'd want to use at home, like modelling and loopers and digital effects and stuff, and then they go, oh yeah, put that on a 150-watt amp. It's like, no one wants a looper on their 150-watt amp.
No, they don't.
I think, though, with 150, you know, with the Line 6 release, then, you know...
Well, Matt, you are the king of segues. Talking about making amps a little bit bigger. Also released the show, the Line 6 Firehawk 1500...
And the best thing I can't believe this. Released.
I can't believe you put three rubbish things together, but this is surely the rubbishest thing we are ever going to discuss.
I love rubbishest. Rubbishest is
any
such a good
podcast,
word.
Now, in the past, or in the future, never will there be as absolutely cack an amp as the Line 6 Firehawk 1500.
Oh,
why is it called 1500? Matt, why is it called 1500?
Matt, why? Because it's 1500 watts.
Exactly. That's my point. And that's right, listeners, you didn't mishear us. This is a 1500 watt amplifier by Line 6. How many speakers are in it?
To make the iNuke.
I know, but we don't care about Ben. That's true, that's true.
1000 watt bass amp.
No, loads of people do 1000 watt bass amps. Orange do one. You know, it's that's quite standard, but... 1500 watts. How many speakers? Bear in mind this is a combo. How many speakers, guys? No.
Two.
No.
Five?
It's like five or six, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just...
Really, oh, yeah, because it's the... Oh, that's it.
That's right.
It's
the same. They're hi-fi speakers.
But it's the same speaker design as the amplifier, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the amplifier's got five speakers in it. One central guitar speaker and then four... flat response speakers for basically the effects.
Yeah,
flat response meaning not four guitars.
Matt,
hi-fi.
Counter what Joe Branton is saying and tell us why the Firehawk 1500 is awesome.
Well, it's 1500 watts for a start.
Okay, there we go. Bigger's better. We know that bigger's better.
You know, that is fact, actual fact, that bigger is better. The ultimate bit of gigging kit if you use a lot of the iOS stuff, you know, because it's all iPad controlled, and it's basically taking the Amplify sort of design of speakers and the, you know, the quite popular FR style speakers for guitarists now who use modeling, and applying it to a guitar amp.
You get
a nice full range big open sound. You know, I think that was always the great thing about the amplifiers, the fact that the effects never feel like they're drowning out the guitar signal, the dry signal. And that's always the thing with modeling amps, is sometimes when you put loads of effects or distortion, everything starts to sound really mushy.
Definitely.
I actually think
they've hit a really interesting sort of market area, because they are doing something that no one else is doing, and it's nice to see them representing people, because not a lot of companies or brands think about, you know, what if you did turn up to play Glastonbury Festival and there was no PA?
I knew that was going somewhere.
Yeah.
I knew that was going somewhere.
It's definitely a weird one, because, you know, it's the same when they did the HD147, their 147 decibel valve amp.
But that was one of the coolest sounding toasters ever made.
It's very difficult, I suppose, for Line 6, because...
They're one of the worst brands of all time.
To Joe Branton.
Bands.
They're one of the worst bands. The
bands
Line 6
when they
house
had like
band.
Yeah. Everyone was really good. Yeah.
It's you know, I suppose it's, you know, constantly trying to reinvent the product that they bought out, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and kind of always do something different with it. And it's the same, I suppose they're going down the route of, right, so you've got the Helix, which is the floor pedal, and you can go into a PA or you can use it for recording. You've got, you know, the Amplify, which you can use at home. And I suppose they've gone, well, what we haven't done for a long time is anything like a Flex Tone or a Vetta combo.
Oh, we're all missing the Vetta, like a hole in the head. Honestly,
I'm telling you.
What?
Duotone. Duotone was the one. We talked about it a few weeks ago.
Do you know what was really weird? Is someone bought one in second hand, and I think it was a Vetta 1. I was like, actually, this sounds all right.
No, they didn't.
It sounded fine.
They didn't sound fine. They sounded dreadful.
Do you know what?
No, honestly, they sounded all right.
No, not honestly. No, they're dreadful.
A little bit of trivia.
The thing is that we always come back. We always come from a Valve point of view. And in terms of...
No, we don't. I literally was just talking about how much I love the Blackstar ID cores.
I will buy one.
You won't buy a Vetta. You're never, ever going to buy a Vetta.
£55 on eBay. I will buy one.
£55?
Go on, buy it.
Genuinely one of the worst amps of all time.
You're crazy. So, a little bit of trivia. I was listening to the 60 Cycle Hum podcast earlier.
Yes.
And they were talking about how they went to NAMM, and apparently the PRS guitars booth, they didn't have any amps, just Line 6 Pod 2s. All
that's
around.
Perfect.
The Pod 2, still a good sounding bit of kit.
But PRS 2
yeah,
amps.
The Vetter is the Pod 2. That is basically what a Vetter is.
It is. So he's right. Say,
that's basically what a Vetter is. It's the Pod 2 this, processor in an amplifier.
No.
Matt, I really want you to buy a Vetter for 55 quid. That'd be amazing.
No, they're not. They're not. But
Why
did they sound so bad then? What speakers were they? They must have been using some Pony speakers. Those amps, I tried a bunch of those amps and they were rubbish.
I'm telling you.
They were rubbish.
I'm gonna track down a Duotone and buy it for your birthday. That's what we're spending the Patreon money on.
Can we talk about a good product now?
We can. So
can we skip a couple so that it's a good product? So
yeah, I'm really into this one. This one, the Reverend.
As well as going bigger, they've gone smaller with the Amplify 30.
Yeah.
So we knew this was coming.
Okay.
Surely we knew this was coming. So taking all the Amplify tech that's been in the 75, the 150, and the new Firehawk 1500, and put it in a practice amp, basically, haven't they?
And it's actually really, really small.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw it at demoed at NAMM, I was like, oh, it's actually diddy. Like, really diddy.
Yeah.
Which is quite cool, because... I think that some people think actually the 75 is still too much and they're just using it in their living room or kitchen. I don't know how often people play guitar in the kitchen, but you know.
All the time.
But yeah, really cool. That and the other thing that you've got on the list here, I thought was in fact one of the nicest releases at NAMM actually.
Well, let's make this the last thing that we talk about on the main episode, because there's quite a lot to talk about with this last Line 6 product, the Relay G10, and then we'll do some more in the Patreon episode, because we've got things from Laney, EBS, Reverend, Supro, Tech 21, Digitech, Seymour Duncan, Amp Tweaker, J Rocket, Washburn, Ernie Ball, Source Audio, and Fret King to talk about.
Holy moly.
So what we'll do is we'll do a quick rundown of all that lot in the Patreon, but I want to talk about the G10 in detail, because you said, Matt, well, like you just said, you thought it was one of the coolest things at NAMM.
Yeah. It is basically a completely mini wireless guitar system. And I think what they brought out the G70, which was their digital one,
G30, 50, and 70, I think.
Yeah, I think with the 70 was that the new digital one that looked very much like the Shure GLX-C.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they've kind of gone, oh, it looks really similar, but actually, how can we make it even smaller and even simpler?
Simpler.
They've basically, it's a box, and the transmitter plugs into the box. That box then charges the transmitter, and then all you do is just take the little transmitter bug out, plug it into your guitar, and it automatically just beams straight to the transmitter, which is at the front of your pedal board or just on top of your amp.
It is the first time I've seriously considered wireless with something like this.
100%. I saw that and actually went, I've got no need for wireless, but actually that's such a cool little product. I was like, yeah,
I'm into that. Maybe you can finally play guitar in the kitchen like you've always wanted to.
Yeah, maybe. I just thought brilliant, because, you know, it's lithium ion, charges the receiver, so you know that it's never going to run out of battery. And away you go.
Do you remember those Samsung guitar bugs? I think, was it Samsung? No, it was AKG. AKG.
Yeah. I know the ones you mean.
The problem with those is that they were really, really unreliable, but I kind of trust Line 6 to make something that is actually durable, because the other ones, the 30, 50 and 70... have all been actually really high quality.
Yeah, and obviously being digital, the actual signal quality is going to be really, really nice.
Yeah, it's using a kind of modified Bluetooth, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So there we go. That's the kind of first part of this week's NAMM Roundup. First of part... It's like Volume 3, Chapter 1. We're going to do Chapter 2, finally... the final chapter of NAMM over in the Patreon episode, patreon.com/guitar nerds. I'm feeling ill. I'm broken.
What's going on?
So from as little as $5 a month, you can get access to an extra half an hour of Patreon content, of Guitar Nerds content every week. And for $10 a month, you become one of our executive producers. By the way, we're running out of spaces. We've limited it to a certain number, and we've now got loads and loads of people who have signed up. So if you want to become a executive producer and have your name read out on the podcast, do so very quickly, because there's not much time left, I'd imagine. These people have done so, and they're awesome.
Laurie Anstis, Joe Deeptoe, Eric Sari, Paul Carrigan, Jack Gadfrew, Dale Rusky, Jack Canray, Will Claw, Chris Wolsan, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quain, Fletch Fletcher, Fal Tamsettle, Moog Gravettison, Colin Ondersan.
That was horrible, my throat. That was really, really bad. Anyway,
I actually meant to do 99 Red Balloons.
I thought you were going to do the Rick Roll. I thought you were going to do Rick Astley.
That's exactly what I should have done. Oh,
you idiot. Hit myself on the head. Good, very good. See what we're working with. I can tell we're recording this podcast later this week because I feel we're a bit sluggish, but we'll get it together for the Patreon, I promise. Next week, I know this week we said we were going to do a whole questions podcast. Next week, because we ran out of time on NAMM stuff again, next week is going to be the questions podcast, whether we get through the rest of the NAMM stuff or not. So
I feel like we've been struggling with NAMM 2016 for so long that next week might be NAMM 2017.
Yes, NAMM is summer NAMM. No, next week is summer NAMM. Yeah. And then
I can't wait for the first episode of our Frankfurt rundown.
Yeah, the Guitar Nerds 2020 is going to be awesome. So please submit questions to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, or you can send them over on Twitter at Guitar Nerds, or you can join us on Periscope. We're going to do some Periscoping after this, but because of how time works, the Periscope will have happened by the time you hear this. So at Guitar Nerds on Periscope as well. Or you can go onto the site. We're trying to put more stuff up there, but yeah, there was just loads from NAMM, and
we all have full-time jobs.
We'll
and we're really
work
busy
and do stuff, and we're busy in that. But we've got some stuff going up there. I'm going to review some little accessory bits and pieces that are cool. Guitarnerds.net. Or you can follow us all on Twitter at @Mark_Random, at @MattKnightsey, @Matt_Knightsey, at @JYBM1, and at @Joseph_900. Thanks very much. Hopefully we'll all be back to full health next week.
You
see you then.
You did really well there, Mark.
Thanks,
I'm really
boys.
Impressed.
Cheers.
Check your bad self.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.